Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we are very excited to present our long-awaited, well, I don't know if it's long-awaited, but at least awaited McCartney 3 review, and it's coming at a time we're recording after Christmas, and the album's been out for about a week or so, a little over a week, I guess, and I think, you know, before, as we get into it here, I don't know about you, Chris, but I feel like it's helped me to come to terms or kind of understand this album better after sitting with it for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to get those reviews out quickly, but I like to take a little time and see what songs grow on me a little bit or what songs get annoying after
yeah,
a while.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad we took a little bit of extra time and had that, you know, with the holiday, a bunch of extra time to give it a couple extra listens. And I think it's helped me for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Usually with these albums come out and we're all working, we're all out and about. And so you're listening in the car, you're listening on the way to on the subway or wherever you are. But this time, I feel like we've had more of a chance to actually listen and kind of pay more attention. So I've done some deep listens under headphones and taken a lot of notes and really gotten into this in a way that I didn't have time to.
Deep listens?
to borrow, I think the word of this album is deep. That seems to be the the optimal word here. Yeah, we did a deep, deep listen, several of them.
Yeah. Now, Dave, when we talked just the last episode about all the different formats and everything, gave it a little bit of a... I don't want to get into all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now it's out. You got what you got. Good for you if you got 4 or 5 different copies of it. I have not purchased a copy of it yet.
Oh.
I don't own a copy of it. I've been listening to it on streaming, but you did.
Yes, I did. I bought the regular black vinyl, just the typical standard vinyl. And starting with the packaging here, I mean, a lot of this will be old news to a lot of you since you have this or have seen it. But the album itself is very nicely packaged, and so there's a gatefold. Everyone knows the cover with the die with the three on it. But then there's a lot of pictures inside, which are nice. They're all taken by Mary McCartney. There's one particularly nice one I love here of Mary with her head on Paul and then a dog in the picture. It's a very sweet family photo. There's some guitar picks. There's pictures of Mary. There's Paul with a... riding a horse and on the beach, all sorts of very much like McCartney 1, kind of the homey type of feel. And then the back has that really terrific photo. It's Paul on the horse, but it's just for him from the waist up, or kind of the chest up, and very nice profile shot.
I think the packaging, the lettering, and the image of the dice, the whole marketing with the dice and all that, I think is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I also think like they've done a great job of like what type of interviews he's done. He did a full the Apple interview, which is a full hour, which is very good, which you should seek out. The Chris Rock interview the night of it was coming out. Called Released, and it was Chris Rock and him, a very kind of like casual kind of
very casual, very
fun, enjoyable kind of like a little conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like we've gotten one new thing a day at least.
Yeah, with him popping up everywhere.
Yeah, and two full videos, one including the animation video that I believe he's talking about in all of these interviews when he's saying, oh, I was writing something for an animation thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's both the beginning and the ending pieces are that. Well, it's when Winter Comes is the video, and you can see that now. But I also love all these lyric videos, Dave? Well, it's great because you can, you know, you can watch the, you know, I want to look at the lyrics, especially doing an analysis like this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So these lyric videos have really helped, and one or two aren't out yet. So I'm like, come on, get these out.
Oh, they are good. And there's the Find My Way video too, which is also quite well done. And you see him in the studio recording it, and lots of kind of short clips back and forth of him playing different instruments and singing. A lot of good headphone with the cans. A lot of pictures of the cans. the standard. And then you see pictures of him with Elvis's bass, with Bill Black's bass, which makes an appearance on the album several times. And I'd say the marketing is terrific, and it helped because we just found out, I think yesterday or day before, that it's now number one in the UK on the charts. So clearly it's done its job.
Yeah. And whatever you think about the whole bonus tracks thing, that they've been doled out over four different CDs that you have to buy in order to get a bonus tracks. There is a Japanese edition that has bonus tracks. Have you listened to these bonus tracks, Dave?
I have. Yeah, in fact, someone generously on YouTube posted the Japanese version that had the four bonus tracks, which we'll very briefly talk about. But it made me feel a little bit better about not buying everything, because they're not actually new tracks, really. So that kind of, and one of them's barely a track, so that kind of helps take the sting out of, or the fear of missing out on that. But I think, I mean, there's plenty to talk about in this album, and having all of these different versions and all. So you wonder, after all of these different versions, all the commercial marketing, all the publicity, and you have to ask the question, so is the music worth it? Is music any good on here, or is it all just hype?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's what we care about.
What we care about, exactly. And that, I think, is the interesting thing. And as we kind of, do you have anything else to say about the marketing before we get to the album proper?
Just one last thing. Of all of these interviews, the one that I'm going to reference a lot is an the magazine NME. You can go to NME.com, and it's the feature by Thomas Smith called Paul McCartney, Read the Exclusive Track-by-Track Story of McCartney 3. And I found it useful, and you know, I don't like to read a lot of reviews and stuff like that. I mistakenly read one that aggravated me, because I was like, wait, that song I like, and they don't like that song, and they do like that song, and I, you know, so it was like, and they were complaining about his voice, and I'm like, his voice sounds pretty good on this.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're talking about.
And we've known that for years anyway now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll reference this NME throughout, I'm sure, because there are a couple things he says, you know, and it's little snippets about each song. So,
great.
It helps you to understand kind of odder songs are coming from.
That's a good segue here, because I wanted to, before we even get into all the song track by track here, there's a lot of, as part of the marketing, or a lot of the hype and discussion around this is, ooh, this is the third of a trilogy, and they're making up all these kinds of things about this is the third solo McCartney. And I was trying to put it in context and thinking about McCartney 1 and McCartney 2 and now this one. And I feel like this one is really different. I would describe the first one, I think we talked about it. It's got maybe two great, great classics, and Maybe I'm Amazed and Every Night, and then a couple of half good songs, and then some instrumentals. The second McCartney has a couple of great tunes like Coming Up or One of These Days, Waterfalls. And it's got those. It's got a lot of that on it. It's got Temporary Secretary and
sorry.
Some of that.
I can't help. McCartney 2 is brought up. I gotta check.
You gotta check your machine on McCartney 2. and so then we get to this one, and I feel like this is more of an album. It's not. It feels less of a experimental, or less of a like. It feels like there's more craft involved in this one.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I don't know if it's possible it's because technology's gotten so good that when he was recording by himself, those other two, on one of them, he was just experimenting with a new piece of equipment more than
True. Yeah, the first
anything.
one. Yeah.
The first one's like a four, what, recorded on four
Yeah,
tracks or eight
four
tracks,
track.
maybe. Now he can record, to his computer anything he wants,
Yeah.
all day long, erase it easily, and then all that. And he's been doing this for 50 years,
That's
so
true. He's
it's
a lot
like
better at it.
he's a
Yeah.
lot better at it. Yeah, and then secondarily, I think he's just, we're that it's that it's the all years and years and years of experience. I kind of want him to do this more often right
Yeah.
now.
Yeah.
He
I
doesn't have to
agree.
call it McCartney 4 or anything, but I think there's a lot of this comes off to me very, very great, probably because he doesn't have anybody in his ear to tell him, like, no, don't do that. That's a crazy idea. What are you even doing?
And that's such a interesting point. We've talked about this a lot in the past about, well, a couple things. So on like Egypt Station, right before this one, we had the multiple producers, and I think we talked about how it didn't cohere very well, because there's so it keeps shifting. You have Fo Yu, and then you have I don't even remember. I barely remember Egypt Station at this point, but some of the other non-Fo Yu songs, Come Back to Me or something that doesn't sound like sounds different, and then you have. It seems like a little inconsistent and sort of doesn't hold together. But then you also have the problem with just McCartney is that he can be a little self-indulgent and a little
Oh, he's
not
definitely
he's
self-indulgent.
self-indulgent for sure. But maybe it works better on this one. I think yeah, so you're trying to find that good balance, I think. But you're right. Maybe the fact that there was not all these different people around and he had more time to actually develop some of these ideas and work on them. It made a certainly to me a better product. So,
There's a And another thing somebody brought up that I think is interesting to think about, which is that I think this was in the Apple interview. And forgive me, I forget who the interviewer is on that, but I'm sure you could easily find it on YouTube. First album was recorded, we know, when he was sort of like something terrible had happened and something ended, had come to an ending. And he was, sort of like off on his own all of a sudden and created the first album. Same with the second album. Wings had just ended. He's on his own, doesn't quite know what to do, puts together another album. And then here we go, the third time.
same thing.
COVID hits, he's rocked down.
Of course.
His wife isn't even with him for several months, I guess, because she was in New York at the time, I believe. They couldn't travel to each other. So, yeah, so it's interesting just that the circumstances came again 40 years later, 50 years later.
Yeah. That is really interesting coincidences here.
Yeah.
So
So.
out of hardships or out of finality, you're sort of floundering, you've got to figure out what to do with yourself, and then he ends up making these types of albums.
Yeah, so that's why I think, like, I'm glad he called it McCartney 3, and I'm glad it's been marketed this way. This is not the only, those are not the only three albums he's done with a lot of stuff on his own, because
No.
he did the
Oh,
Fireman
right.
stuff too. So, but those weren't called like McCartney anything.
No, that's true. So
So.
it's a marketing ploy here to the trilogy and putting them all together, and it's yeah, that just yeah.
I
But
think it worked.
it worked. It definitely works. Definitely worked. But I think just before we even play a note of it, I think just the pa yeah, packaging, the whole lore, the whole kind of story. We won't talk about the story because he's told it 100 times about how he came up with this, but is set up very well. He's got really good PR people, I think,
Yeah.
the work here.
Well, good. I hope those PR people keep in his ear about like, oh, it'd be great to release another thing now.
Yeah.
Beer to
Well, right. And one of those interviews, somebody said, "Oh, you know, do you release or you record a lot more songs than you actually release?" And he was kind of hedging on it. He's like, "Well, I don't know. I might have a few extra. I don't know." And he's like, so, yeah, let's
Well,
maybe.
Chris Rock said it doesn't matter, everything you do is going
That's
to come
true.
out eventually
That's
after you're
true.
dead.
That's true. Good point. Good point. Yeah.
So
So, yeah, well, let's dig in here. So there's 11 tracks on here. If
yep.
the album the albums are in CD, they're differently sequenced. So the album has six on side A, and probably because then Deep Deep Feeling, which is the longest track, is the beginning of side B, because it probably couldn't fit on side A. So they had to rearrange some things, but it otherwise looks
So is sliding on side A then?
It is. It's the last song on side A.
That's
Yes.
interesting.
So
That's interesting because it does mess with the sequence there. I should have lift. If I'd have known about that, I would have given it a listen with the those two
Yeah.
in the different order because it's interesting.
Well, and like you, I heard it for a couple days before my album showed up in the mail. I heard it on Spotify, and it has it the other way. So
Yeah.
has Deep Deep Feeling first. So that was it kind of does change a little bit about how you hear things. But 11 tracks, there's a little typical Paul form. There's the first and last tracks have something in common, and in between, I think there's some other themes that come by. But yeah, well,
Yeah,
shall we?
let's roll up these sleeves
Yeah,
and
let's dig in
dig
here.
in.
All right, so the first track is the opening track is called Long-Tailed Winter Bird, and runs 5 minutes and 17 seconds.
Well, I think it's pretty solid opener, great catchy lick, and as one of the YouTubers said, if you play guitar, you just can't help but try to pick up the guitar and
And I did.
give it a go.
And I
You
did.
did?
Yep, I did.
How'd you do?
Okay, I think. I didn't buy the songbook, but I think I figured it out, 'cause it's just over an E. It got an E drone going, so it's
Yeah.
just moving one finger up and down.
Yep.
But
So yeah, so I like that lick and the drums sound great on it too, and all the instruments coming in. It's a good introducer of like the concept of the al of Paul playing all the instruments on the album by him having him come in with a new instrument and then
Yeah.
oh, and now it's a double lick and stuff like that. He did say in the NME interview that this was a song he extended,
Yes.
and the song is doubled,
Yes.
and it's exactly doubled. It's the exact same thing, and that's my little bit of a problem with it. Is it like why do we need that second? Is that second half doesn't go anywhere new?
That's
Yeah.
fascinating because I didn't even. I just wrote in my notes. I didn't read that, so I wrote in my notes, "Too long. Seems like it's just looped the same thing over," and so
Yep.
it was. Okay,
Yeah. That's so. So that bothers me a little bit. I wish he would have done something new with the second half of it. It's almost a full instrumental, of course, but I like those lyrics that he does have. The
yeah.
"Do you miss me? Do you feel me?"
Do you
I
touch
like,
me? Yeah.
yeah, I like those. It works for me as an mostly instrumental with a little bit of makes you think just slightly
Yeah.
lyrics, but pretty solid.
Yeah.
Too long, but pretty solid.
Yeah, I would share the same thoughts. I said it sounds vaguely Eastern, a little bit kind of drone-like. You've got this drone going, kind of groove. The drums enter after a minute in the voice. Highly processed, nice bass playing. Yeah, voices return, and the voices are stacked in thirds. He likes this technique of stacking the vocals in thirds, kind of in harmonies. But it also has kind of an abrupt stop too, at the end as well. So, yeah, good opener. I think it looked just too long. It's a little bit of the I Me Mine treatment here, just kind of making it last too long, double it.
Yeah. Yep. Just do the same thing. Oh, we gotta that's too short. We gotta do something. So I just wish in that second half he would have like maybe added some stuff or changed the lyrics a little bit in the second version, but it even has the same little whirly background, those
Right,
little
right.
ooh, in the
Yeah, the
background,
ooh,
and then that comes back at the exact same moment. It's not disconcerting or anything, but
No.
it just I feel like it could have done a little more with that.
Exactly.
But I'm not gonna skip past that one. I think it's good.
No. So then next up, as we mentioned, there's a video for Find My Way, and this is, I would say,
And a
if
lyrics
and a
video
lyrics
too.
video, yes.
So
And I would
pick your
say,
poison.
yeah. I would say if you're gonna say the most commercial sounding song would probably be this one on the album. And yeah, what do you think of Find My Way?
I like it a lot. I think it's a great song. I like the music. Love all the background vocals in this. Very,
Yeah,
very. Find my way. You know, when he's up there. So,
falsetto.
woo, oh yeah,
Yeah.
oh yeah. And I love that coda on this one, where it like kind of comes back at the end, and then it's got the, you know, like
Yeah.
the really rapid guitar runs.
Yep.
I think that sounds excellent. Now, lyrics wise, do you think that Paul is kind of presenting himself as the remedy to your lockdown anxiety?
Could be because he never
Sorry,
closed.
lockdown.
Yeah, rockdown. Thank you. Come on, get it right. Get it right. Yes, because he never closes. He's open day and night. He doesn't get
Yeah.
lost at night. Yeah, you're by now you're overwhelmed by your anxieties, afraid of days like these. I think he might be
Yeah.
the remedy.
Let him be your guide.
Yeah, let him be your guide. That's right. It could be. Find your way. We're all finding our way right now. So.
Yeah. Well, I thought at the very least it kind of, I mean, I'm not sure how consciously he was writing songs about lockdown. However, I find this one and maybe a couple others, I'll mention one later for sure, that I think like really it's like very
They
timely.
work, yeah.
They work and they work for this time and everything, which is insane that a 78-year-old guy is like writing one of the best things
Yeah.
that fits the exact moment we're in. So.
Yeah, I like this one a lot too. I think it reminds me of New. Or it seems to have that kind of sound, or that same period. There's a little bit of vintage sound on here with the keyboards and the harpsichord. I'm on my notes here. So yeah, great guitar licks, catchy tune, thick distorted guitars. Falsetto Paul sounds pretty good. I think
Yeah.
that's one of the. We're gonna hear it later in the album. It's maybe not quite as good, but here it sounds good. Synths are really prominent. The acoustic bass, I hear that a lot, and then. False endings seem to be a big theme on this album too. There's several songs with these false endings that, like you said, that has a coda that comes back.
This one is way more successful than
Yes.
another one that
Okay, good.
we'll
We'll talk
talk
about
about.
that one.
I think we'll be in agreement on that.
Yeah, definitely. I like it overall. I think it's a good song. The end it drags on a little bit maybe, but it's good. It's good. So next up, we've got the interestingly titled Pretty Boys.
Any truth to the rumors that this song is about us?
I think he's writing about us.
Here
Yeah.
come the pretty boys. There's Chris and then there's
Interesting.
Dave talking from their cave.
Yeah. Very
The
nice.
review is a rave. They talk, but they never say much. That
That's
line
for
just
sure. That's for sure. Very nice. We're preaching to the choir here on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one a lot, and this was the first thing I'll mention from this NME. He said, "I read a newspaper article about some male models who got annoyed at a photographer who had been too aggressive and a bit abusive. So I started to imagine a fictional tale about these male models. When I was walking along the street in New York, I saw a big line of bicycles, and I thought, 'Oh, well, that's a nice idea. Here come the pretty boys, objects of desire, a line of bicycles for hire.'" And I like that. I like that. And later he calls them a row of cottages for rent.
Yeah. For your main
I think
event.
that's, yeah, I think that's a good imagery. Like these sort of like empty-headed male
Yeah.
models, but in some ways, like got some sympathy for them.
So, do you think there's any truth to the rumor that this is about the Beatles?
No.
No. That they were, because they were the pretty boys, objects of desire. You can look, but you'd better not touch.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess the in the way that he himself was probably considered empty. Well, maybe that's where the sympathy is coming from. It's like he knows what it's like to be just like labeled the pretty one, and
Yeah.
then like girls like him because he's the pretty one. But what's he,
Yeah.
as we know, as we studied Pollock, he's into experimental music and
Oh,
art,
yes,
and
much more to
he's
him. Yeah.
got a lot much more to him. Obviously, as taken as been a champion of veganism for many years,
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's like well, he has a lot of more interest than just being an empty-headed person who doesn't say much.
Right, right. This one, I also made the mistake, like you were saying, of reading a review before I actually listened to it. And the reviewer, I can't remember who it was, but they didn't like this song, and they said it was one of the worst songs on the album. And I immediately was predisposed not to like it, but actually I do like it. It kind of has his early days voice. That's where the I don't want to say vulnerability, but the kind of fragileness of his early days voice comes through at the beginning. I love the acoustic guitar sound. It's got to be his Martin D28, because that's what I have, and I was playing along with it, and it just sounds like the same sound, and it's such a beautiful sound. Fits well on the guitar to play. Doubling with the electric guitar, vocals, drums, catchy syncopated licks. Do 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 do. Nice production. I don't like the lyric "while they're working when they're working for the squire." That seems a little stretched, but apart from that, I give it a
Working
thumbs up.
for the squire. I like it because I love any weird McCartney
Yes,
Englishisms.
that's true. That's a good one there,
Like
squire.
the famous one from Driving Rain with Dickie Bird.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So
Yeah, so I'd say it's good so far. Yeah, and then
yeah.
now you want to introduce the next one, because he's talked a lot. He said this is his favorite one.
Yeah, it's not my favorite one, but I don't dislike it. Women and Wives. It's a solid sort of mature sounding song, but he's got like a deeper kind of and reading on his NME interview, he's talking about like I'd just been reading a book on the blues artist Leadbelly, so I was trying to get in this bluesy mood. So you can hear him. I guess that's his
I guess.
bluesy. Oh yeah, women and wives. So I'm not totally in love with the voice on this
No.
one, but I like it generally. It seems to be talking to parents, asking them to think about what they're doing and how it's leading their children. It seems to be what the theme is. Now I'm not sure. I don't think parents need to hear that necessarily. They probably already understand that.
That's true.
But yeah, what do you think about this one? Because I'm a little torn on it. I'm
Yeah.
not completely in love with it, but I don't hate it.
I think we're in agreement here, right? So he's got the very dark, it's a very dark song, very dark timbre. I saw it described as his Lady Madonna voice. I describe it as more kind of hammy. Hear me, women and wives. Hear me, husband and lovers. A little bit like that. A little
Oh,
hammy.
Dave, I wish I could bottle that up.
I
I'm
know.
sorry. I want you singing that as my ringtone.
Yeah. What we do with our lives seems to matter to others. It reminds me a little bit of Chaos or Memory. I keep thinking back to all the earlier songs, because it just, or earlier albums, because it seems like that kind of. Because Chaos is actually an album that has a lot of solo McCartney on it too. To me, his voice sounds a little bit strained and a little old, not quite as effective on this one.
I agree with that. I agree with that for sure. And I like I said, I think the message is like it's like a little unclear.
Yeah.
Like get ready to run. It's like what?
Yeah.
Keep your feet on the ground, get ready to run. Is that the lyric?
Yeah.
It's like, from what? What? It doesn't quite map perfectly.
Right. But I like I think he's playing brushes on the drums, which sound nice, and then there's the acoustic bass of Elvis makes an appearance as well, and that gives it a real dark kind of sound. So,
Well, I think I want to say something about it, but I really want to save that for the next song.
Ah, yes, the exciting lavatory lil.
Is it true? I got to be in a podcast with Commode Chris and Toilet Thermite.
I think that'll be a big hit. We're going to be winning all kinds of awards with that.
Well, Lavatory Lil obviously is the silliest
Yes.
of the songs on that. Hands down a silly song, but I don't think it's just a garbage song or anything. And it doesn't bother. I mean, it's obviously silly and tongue in cheek, but it doesn't bother me. And it's more of a weird spot of fun than a boring or bad song. And at least it's clear about what it is. The silliness is mostly just in the name, but it makes sense. And he's basically saying, like, in the Emmy article again, he said, "Oh, it's Lavatory Lil's anybody you don't like." As far as that goes, it works. And he's had other silly, bad, or weird songs before, but that are unlistenable.
True.
Seriously, where the production is bad on it, or the song doesn't like have any punch to it. And I think both women, whatever you think about Women and Wives and Lavatory Lil, Lavatory Lil. Yeah, I almost have to sing it to
Yeah.
say it. But
Look out for lavatory, Lil. Yeah.
They at least sound good. The production is great on them. The background
Yeah.
singing is great on it. All the instruments sound clean, good. It rocks, you know. But yeah, it's a goof.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's slight. But I think he must have been thinking of the blues if he's reading about Lead Belly, because this is just it's kind of a tight bluesy simple rocker, nice descending riff. I like the do 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 do. Pretty cool. Funny lyrics, nice guitar riffs. Yeah, very fun. Actually, the cool thing I like is the nice halftime change toward the end. So it kind of suddenly gets away from the doom 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 doom. So kind of goes halftime at the end, and that's kind of nice. You're a big fan of the lyrics. I mean, it's kind of nasty, Paul, for about as nasty as he's ever gotten here. She's looking like a harlot, or she's acting like a starlet, and she's looking like a harlot, or when she's cooking you your dinner, but she's moving in for the kill. I mean, it's fun. I like it.
Very slight.
Yes, yeah.
But it's not as deep as it's the least deep of anything here. But at least it wasn't like, I mean, there's other songs that he's written that have been just as silly and don't mean any, seemingly don't mean anything, and they're just like nonsense word salad.
Yeah.
Like,
Nod your head.
oh yeah, nod your head. It's not a nod your head.
No.
Nothing on here is nod your head level bad.
No,
So.
not at all. Not at all. So next up, I don't know, we have two different, we have a conflicting order here, because if you were listening on streaming services, then Deep Deep Feeling was your next song, but on my LP, Slidin' is my next. So which would you
Which do you
like
want
to?
to? Which do you? Yeah, flip a coin here. You
Well,
choose. You choose.
okay. Let's do Deep Deep Feeling, because that was how I heard it most.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. So this got a lot of talk because it's very long. It's over 8 minutes, and
Yes,
yeah, and had.
I want to just quickly read from the Enemy
Yeah.
interview. I was thinking of editing it down to a shorter, more reasonable length. But when I listened through to it, I liked it so much, he said modestly, that I kept it 8 minutes. I
Well,
would have cut it down a
I
little
would have cut it down a little bit
bit.
myself too. Yeah.
Now I like it, Dave. In fact, I like it a lot. But especially the very end of it, right around that 6:30 mark, he starts to go, and then we've got the overlap. And
Yeah.
we've got the back the lyrics that have like been sw switched around, so it's like a back mass, and it all sounds really good, and it's cool, and it's building up and all that. And then Paul shifts to sort of this goofy voice. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Sort of like, wish you would stay. Sometimes I wish you would go away. And it almost seems like he's running out of energy to finish the song.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish it would go away.
Which sometimes I wish it's like he's doing a weird character. So, but then and then at the 7:14 mark, you think it's over,
Yep.
and then it starts up again with an acoustic riff, builds back up again. I'm like, do we need any of this? And then it ends in a major key.
Yes, A major, strangely. Yeah.
Why did we need to resolve this cool, mysterious song, and then it ends even with a da-ding.
Yeah, that's
So to me, I would have cut all that,
Yes.
and I would have faded it off into the universe at about the 6:30 mark, and it would have been an amazing song. Because otherwise, I like it a lot. I think the different parts, the piano, the bass. I like this sometimes I wish it would stay, go away, repetitive thing. I like that brooding section in the 2 minutes mark, and then it comes in with a really cool like guitar solo.
Yeah.
It is long.
It
It
is
is long.
long. This is another one of this is I think what you were talking about with the false ending that doesn't quite work when it comes back, and I agree
Yes.
with you. So the intro I thought, yeah, it sounds kind of got the old voice again, but it sounds okay. And I like the background, ooh, hey,
Yeah.
kind of works. Lots of falsetto. You've got it's really layered, and I think that's what makes it interesting. It's got the these different patches, string patches, things going in and out of the texture. It's always changing, kaleidoscope like. I like that. Then it goes into the slow core kind of halftime feel.
Yeah. Do do.
The
Sometimes I wish it
shit.
would stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when
Emotion.
that guitar emotion.
Yeah. Emotion.
Then it's got that cool guitar in there too, and
And I like
that
that.
section's really cool.
That section, it kind of reminds me of some of the arpeggiation in this song reminds me of I Want You, She's So Heavy a little bit in the kind of sounds and the arpeggios and the building, kind of a long time here. But Paul coming in and out of the texture, you've got shakers, maracas, all kinds of things happening, and then yeah, then it just stops. And then you've got that fade in with the acoustic version ending in major. So I'm with you on that. I would cut it probably at 6:30, and then I think it'd be great just let it fade out with the doo 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 doo.
Yeah,
Yeah.
if it was 6:30 to me, and I want to say this, it doesn't ruin the song. It doesn't totally ruin the song,
Yeah.
the extra minute and a half, but it does run out of gas for me,
Yes.
and it starts to get like, what? Why do we? And the coda is completely unnecessary. But I like the lyrics don't necessarily. It's not like, let it be type level
Yeah.
lyrics or anything. It's not necessarily like the most genius lyrics in the world, but I like
Yes.
the lyric sheet though is like if I'm sure it takes up half of the
Oh yeah, it's like very repetitive, like almost two columns here.
That's why there's no lyric video at the time of this recording, is
Right.
because somebody's still typing them into the thing. I think the lyrics are good. I mean, it's sort of like silly love songs where it's like there's not like a lot of like necessarily like there's little sections of repeated lyrics
Right.
sung by a different, in that case, sung by different people, and in this case, all sung by Paul, and just as effective, where it's like, you got the doesn't the joy of feeling me.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that lyric is, but
So
there's
intense the
that.
joy of giving.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So intense.
So immense the thrill of living. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's way up there. So that's almost like Linda's part, right?
Yeah.
And that keeps repeating, and then it's like emotion.
Emotion.
And there's the sometimes I wish it would stay. That's more in a different, it's a different syncopation.
Yeah.
It's
Which is,
so
it's like
yeah,
something, like it's always changing. Yeah, I like that.
So I love the music's
Yeah.
great in it
Yeah.
and sounds wonderful and this different sections and there's nothing in the song or any of the music that I think is like bad.
No.
The lyrics sound good, the vocals sound good, everything. So
Yeah.
it's a thumbs up for me. It's just a I didn't need the extra 2 minutes of the song.
Right. This is this maybe comes in the self-indulgent part because he's going to keep
Yes.
trying everything as much as he can and put all this stuff together and yeah.
And I forgive it even more because of that.
Yeah.
I think because we know that this is an experimental album, him on his own, not even thinking he's making an album, just dicking around. And then it's like, oh, he ends up with this, and he's like, oh, you know what? I don't know what to cut out of it.
Yeah, let's just keep going.
Let's
Yeah.
just keep going. It did remind me though that in his when we got the extended version of his last album.
Yes.
And remember there was, I forget what track it was, but
Oh,
there
who
was
cares?
Who
Is it?
Cares? And it was the longer version of Who
Yeah.
Cares.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what he should have done is like cut off that minute and a half and then put this on McCartney 3.5 or whatever comes out,
Yeah, that's a good
the
idea.
super deluxe version.
Yeah. Well, that would be fun with the Audacity or something. You can try to fade it out yourself here and see how it sounds without that coda and
Yeah.
see how it goes. But it is, I like it. It's a good production. There's a lot of stuff in there and it's never boring because it's constantly changing and swirling around.
Yeah, there was a review. The one review I did read loved it. Like,
Yeah.
absolutely went over the moon about this track. And at the time, I hadn't listened to it, I think, enough to think it was so great. But they did say, strap in. It's a sprawling epic. And I was like, well, yeah, it is kind
Well,
of a sprawling epic. And the more I listen to it, the more like I pick up these little bits here and there. And I'm like singing, like,
yeah.
parts of it all the time.
Oh,
So
it's catchy, yeah.
yeah, it's catchy. I like it. I like it. I know it started with a complaint about it, but I think we both feel the same way.
Yeah,
Like,
definitely.
excellent, but with the resolving it with a,
Ending on A major.
yeah,
Ta-da!
I don't understand why.
I don't know, but it's good. And if overall, and that I say that ends side A if you're on the streaming. Otherwise, on your record, you had finished side A with the next song. So that's sliding, or slide in, I should say. And
Yeah.
yeah, you want I can start on this one if you want here.
Yeah, why don't you start on this one? 'Cause I know how I feel about this one.
Okay.
So let's hear what you think.
Okay. So very heavy riff. So this okay, well this is actually a little bit of not a disingenuous advertising because the album is not entirely Paul. And we know that's the case with McCartney 1 and 2 as well, Linda sang. But this is actually a band song, so it has Rusty Anderson and Abe, the Laborial Jr., the drummer on it, and then Greg Kurstin is involved, Alex Pascoe involved. So there's actually several people on it, so it's a band tune. So very heavy riffs, many layers, many vocals really covered. Lyrics aren't too bad, but for me this one just doesn't do it. This is kind of the one song that doesn't land for me. I think Screamin' Paul doesn't work now, and it's just too heavy, and I think the vocals get completely drowned out. So
I am completely the opposite on this, Dave. I
wow.
love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Absolutely love this one.
Huh.
It sounds like a stadium classic. Great riff. And apparently, this was inspired by Olympic skiing and snowboarding. He was watching Olympic skiing and they kept saying sliding, and he was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And it does sound like something you'd hear like right before sport competition or something. Boom, boom. So it works for me. I like it, and I like the I'm singing it all the time around here.
Oh, it's catchy.
Slide
It's catchy.
it. Yeah, and I like his falsetto here, and I think he's got a strong falsetto here, and I think his voice is getting so weak in his regular register, and there's a lot more falsetto on this
There
album,
is.
Dave.
That's true.
Including the next one, we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk about his falsetto today. But I like it a lot. I'm to me, this is my favorite song in the album,
Really, you're
Dave. So
kidding.
yeah,
It's
really
wow.
love it. I think it's like excellent. Sounds rocking. I didn't know that it was the full band playing on it, but it makes sense. It sounds I was like, oh, he really how do you get that drum sound by his playing, you know?
Yeah, no, there's multiple people on this one, so
Yeah. So, but I like it a lot. I've also seen another review where somebody has a similar take to you
Oh, interesting.
on it. So maybe I'm the wrong one on this
I don't
one,
know. I don't know.
guys.
I mean, that's why we all
But
hear it differently.
in fact, I wear my S for sliding,
I see
not for
he's got a
Steven.
hat on that says S. Yeah. But I think I like the lyric. I especially like the lyric, "I can feel my body burn sliding through the air." And now that you get the context about the Olympics or about now, that makes more sense. And I kind of like that imagery.
Yeah. I was
Yeah.
thinking, ooh, is he getting high again, Dave?
Back
See,
to
did it rock down? Did he like, oh, well, might as well go back to smoking weed?
sliding through the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Which would
Yeah.
make Paul like everyone else in
In the world right now. Yeah.
the
Yeah. So
world right now.
interesting. Well, yeah, I think for me it was the production of it that it was so the vocals were so covered, that riff was just so heavy and seemed out of like off-putting to me. It was just too much that I
Yeah,
couldn't hear him very well. But
I can see that.
yeah, I mean that's why we it's fun to talk
I
about
think
this
it's
stuff.
right. I think you're in repeated listings. You're gonna. It's it. I saw it somewhere compared to Sing the Changes a little bit, which is sort of like similarly. Like the vocals aren't like really the key thing in Sing the
Yeah.
Changes. It's more about the atmosphere of it,
True, true.
and that's how I feel about Sliding. It's like the.
Yeah.
I don't know. It does almost sound like a beer commercial, kind of like rock, you know? But
Yeah.
I like it. I think it kicks ass,
Well,
personally. But
it's a big contrast for what follows, which is completely different. So we have Kiss of Venus up next, which is acoustic, totally acoustic. And this one, I think we got little dribs and drabs of it through the promo videos. You'd hear it in the background. You hear that riff, the do-do-do-do-do. And boy, is that catchy, isn't it? That is quite a catchy little lick, catchy riff.
Oh yeah. Melody is
Yeah, terrific.
lovely.
So what I've got some thoughts, but I want to hear your take on Kiss of Venus.
Well, I like it. I like the lyrics and the message. It's sort of indicating maybe we're packed with illusions and turned around. And then this idea of the kiss of Venus, which is when Earth and Venus align closely with each other. And I like that imagery in the bridge. I think he's talking about when we're alone. Maybe he's talking about meditation there, communing with nature. Then we're actually lining up with something larger than us. Like these pa passing planets coming together. So I kind of like that
Yeah.
message in the lyrics. I like the harpsichord coming in.
Yes,
I think it
yes.
adds the sort of regalness to it, mixed with the beautiful guitars. Now the vocals, does the falsetto work? You know, I've been thinking about falsetto a lot. I don't know if you've seen on HBO Max the Bee Gees movie, which
No, I've heard
if
it's
anyone,
great.
oh my Lord, it's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. And there's a great moment. He actually talks about the moment he realized he could do falsetto,
Oh, well, that
which is like well into their career. And then he's
wow.
like, they're like, hey, why don't you, it's in the, what's the song, Nights on Broadway,
Oh yeah.
where like that, and they're like, yeah, do it, try it in falsetto, and he did it, and everybody was like, whoa, what is that?
And then they took
And
that
then
to the
they're just
bank.
like,
Wow.
scrap everything, let's write everything in falsetto from now on. So,
Yep.
but Paul's, favoring falsetto these days for obvious reasons. It sounds a little weaker here,
Yes.
the falsetto, but maybe it works.
Yeah.
I generally kind of like Kiss of Venus.
Yeah, I'm with you. I said it sounds great. The production is just terrific. Again, the guitar sounds good. I like the harpsichord solo. The yeah, a little bit of voice trouble in the falsetto, but very catchy. I like all the lyrics except the la except the what he writes his middle. This is it. Kind of goes generic-y. Reflected, like how many words can I rhyme with lake? Reflected mountains in a lake. Is this too much to take? Asleep or wide awake? And if the world begins to shake, will something have to break? Yeah.
Yeah, because I found that to be odd. I was like, it doesn't quite match the rest of the
No.
what you're saying in the rest of the song.
And he rhymes awake twice. Asleep or wide awake, we will have to stay awake. Yeah. But
Who wrote that bridge? Ringo? No.
as we heard in our last episode with
I was also disappointed, Dave, that Kiss of Venus wasn't a sequel to Venus and Mars, because I was really wanted to hear Paul's wacky Cockney character again. Mademoiselle Freddy, Freddy.
pretty. Yeah. But I like it. I think it's I mean, boy, that one sticks with you. Just musically, it's so catchy. Wow. Really
Yeah,
catchy.
I can see this being, we our last song on the microscope, we talked about a song that gets a lot of instrumental cover versions, and I could see this
Oh,
being an
yeah.
instrumental cover version that's just like very beautiful.
Yeah. So,
He's
next
still
up.
got it as far as writing
Oh, terrific.
melodies and
Yeah.
all that, so.
Well, this next one. Here's a question for you. This one, I've seen multiple people say, oh, this is the Beatles song on here. This one sounds Beatly, and that's Seize the Day. And
Well,
I don't know about that.
part of that's because he said that in his interview with Chris Rock,
Right.
which I think a lot of people watched as we were like counting down the minutes till we could stream the album. I was like, oh, this thing's on. I could watch this.
Yeah.
I think it actually sounds a lot more like a different band, Queen.
Oh, interesting.
That guitar sound he's got going, because it sounds ex just classic Brian May
Yeah, that's
to
now I
me.
think of it, you're right. Yeah.
I do think the drum pit-a-pat sounds very Ringo-y, and I like it. I like the drums on it, and the lyrics at times trite, at times complete nonsense on this one. I texted you because I was in a real worried, because it says dinosaurs and Santa Claus will stay indoors tonight, and I was like, oh no, Dave, is Christmas gonna happen?
I know. Well, the cold days come and the old ways fade away.
Yeah, I was like, does he know something that Santa Claus is gonna retire? Thankfully, Christmas came off without a
Yes,
hitch.
it did.
I
Yeah.
got my 80s Bowie box set. So Santa read my letter, so we're all good to go.
Is funny. I could see him saying, oh, that's a bit of whimsy. A little bit of whimsy. Talking about dinosaurs and Santa Claus.
It's a
Yeah.
sort of and seize the day. It's so
That's.
trite of a concept.
Yeah.
But all that said, doesn't bother me that much. I think it's certainly better than what's that Destiny video game song? Remember,
A hope for the future,
Hope
or.
for the Future? It's definitely better than
Yeah.
anything like that. The production again is great on it.
Yes.
And it does sound, I like the different parts, and I like the Brian May guitar sound on it. It sounds pretty cool. So love the pit-a-pat.
Do you think about Yankee toes and Eskimos? Can turn to frozen ice? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, what do you The generally favorable.
Yes. I think it's another good melody. His voice sounds better on this one, but the bridge and chorus I think is really catchy and strong. I like, except that great descending bass line again, when he goes the when the cold day, which is really catchy kind of tune. I like the heavy guitars. There's a nice slowdown before the last verse, kind of.
Oh yeah, I
Yeah,
love that
that's
slowdown. That's
a
good.
neat little part there. So I like it. I think it's, I mean, it's a definitely an album track, but it's good. Good, fits in well.
Yeah,
Yeah.
pretty good. So far, there's nothing on here. I know you feel differently about Sliding, but so far there's nothing on here that I'm like is a real
No.
turkey or a
No.
dud. I wouldn't even say the word dud about anything on this album.
No, not at all.
So very, very solid. Now, deep down.
Controversial. Woo.
Well,
Yeah.
I like the start of it. And I like the feel at the start of it with that high-pitched vocal. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, the
At the
oohs.
first listen, I was like, what is that? What
Yeah.
instrument is that? And I realized it was Paul's high-pitched falsetto,
Yeah.
kind of like,
Processed.
ooh. And the music is good at first, and I like some of the musical elements throughout of it. But I really, really don't like this keyboard horns.
Yes.
Bah, bah, bah,
Was
bah, bah.
that Wicks? I guess that wasn't Wicks. No Wicks on this one. Yeah, the
Yeah. And lyrically, I think it's the most repetitive. And the most too long and has the least to say deep down here.
Well,
So,
this is another one that takes up two columns on my lyric sheet here, but it's all the same thing. Want to get deep down, I want to do it right, want to get deep down and look around this end of town tonight. And
we can party every night.
yeah, we
And
can party every night.
he's talking about partying, and then he's like, I want to talk to you. I need to talk to you. Please let me talk to you. Tonight,
Tonight.
it's
It,
just it doesn't
yeah.
do it for me, but generally.
If anything, I think this is probably more reminiscent of the earlier McCartney 1 and 2 albums, where you just get a groove and you just kind of put some lyrics over it that don't really mean a whole lot, and just kind of try out a lot of things, because that's what I wrote here. That so bass is very heavy, maybe a little too dark. Nice acoustic fills, funky bass licks. Too long. Seems to be trying out different voices. So this is where you get a lot of gonna get deep down. Got that low kind of R&B voice, and you've got the oohs. He's sort of working his doing his different McCartney voices, including the sort of old and strained voice when it goes on. But when it's gonna do it right, a little screaming Paul.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Want
Yeah. Yeah. So. But I get what he's going for here, and I love that intro and the organ. And it sounds like a wolf howling at the beginning, doesn't it? Sort of like, yeah.
Well,
So,
I was the
starts
probably
great.
part of what I was disappointed in is like the first like 30 seconds or so. I'm like, oh
It's
yeah, we got
killer, yeah.
something. We really got something here. And then it, as soon as those keyboards hit,
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. So.
And then it was really honestly, this song goes on way, way too long with the same stuff.
Yeah,
So.
exactly. So that's why I say it's sort of like experimental, kind of trying things out and just keeping that same riff going.
So I think
Yeah.
there's some good stuff in it. It's not a total dud to
Oh,
me, but
no.
it does have that. It's of all the songs, a lot of the songs have some deep things to say, or at least have some. Even Lavatory Lil, it's like, aren't these terrible people that you don't like? But this one, I'm not even sure what he's trying to say
And
here.
that's why I feel like it's more of just a groove and just kind of repeating things and trying out, experimenting with stuff. So very, very distinctive. And the second deep, it's a second deep song on the album here, but I think I prefer the first deep song better.
Definitely. Definitely. I think this is my sliding. Your
Yeah,
you've
this,
got
okay,
your
that's,
sliding, and I got my sliding,
yeah,
which
I
is
mean,
deep down.
you're not gonna love every song on an album, but, and so then, to finish the album, we get that beginning again of the long-tailed winter bird lick,
Yep.
and then it goes into another acoustic, an old acoustic song.
Yeah, the best ever farm to-do list song of all time, I would
He's
argue.
really like, yeah, giving you lots of chores to do. What do you have to do, Chris? What do you have to do? What's on the list? We have to fix the fence because the foxes are nosing around.
Yeah, I gotta say I really like it, and it's really grown on me.
When winter
And
comes.
I love the little cartoon video. It's very beautiful, and everybody should check that out. But I think this works on a couple of levels. One, it connects you directly back to McCartney One,
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
because it's like talking about the farm and all that kind of stuff. And also, what is winter? Is winter old age? If so, then it's sort of like reflecting back. Is he reflecting back on all the things that we needed to do before old age? Or is like I probably didn't intend it this way, but it's the most lockdown-ish of these songs
Yeah.
because he's talking about gathering things to get ready for a long period of time, winter, when we'll be trapped inside and
Yeah.
food will be scarce and the store won't be able to stay open and that kind of thing. So I don't think he probably consciously intended that when he was like, putting it together, but it kind of works on that level to me.
I like it. It's a good closer. It's kind of he does this sometimes on albums. He'll close with an acoustic song like Great Day on Flaming Pie, for example, or there's other cases too. And this is a and the fact that it's an older song, this is from 1992, and George Martin was involved in the production of it or recording of it. It is kind of nostalgic, and looking back at a lot, like I say, life, you've got kind of in the metaphysical way, but also in a specific way, looking back at what happened in the summer and how we had to do these things, and now it's winter.
Yeah.
I think it's a good closer. It's got nice levels to it.
Like I said, even if he didn't r write it as talking about, I obviously did
Right, because it's older, yeah.
talking about lockdown, it sort of has a new resonance,
Yes.
which I think many of these do have a little bit of a resonance because of the recording of the album, and crafting together the full album being during this odd time.
Yeah.
I was telling people I don't think that this obviously everything been going on for this year is good.
No.
However, musicians wise, musicians trapped by themselves will write songs. They get bored, they write songs, and in his case, if he's writing songs, and I kind of think he should just produce the rest of his album
I do too.
himself.
That's what I was gonna say too. Yeah.
Because I think it's excellent. Thumbs way up
Oh, it
for
sounds
the album.
terrific production. You know, this is kind of a morbid thought, but I was sad a little bit listening to this because there's like it just shows kind of thinking about the fragility of life and maybe it's because it's on all of our minds these days, but especially with Paul, just thinking like, wow, this is I don't want to lose him. I mean, this is
Yeah.
such a like wow, this at this time during this period we he comes up with this, and there's so much more that he can do. It's yeah.
Well, and I think Paul's always been fueled by, positivity. And I think that a lot of us tend to be cynical,
Yeah.
particularly people who like rock music and are like
Yeah.
cool.
A
And Paul's not cool. Paul's just, the corny one and,
square. Yeah.
a square. And he's even got some corny songs on this. But I feel like, but maybe he's figured out the key to long life is like not drowning in, obviously Laverty Lil is a cynical song, but generally, his views, even in the worst of times, like now,
Yeah.
he's given us He is, as the one song said, he is the remedy to
That's right. That's right.
find my way.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah.
he knows his left from right.
That's true. A kind of maybe things happen for a reason, and they appear at the time they do for a reason.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think that's very true. It's a shame that this album didn't get into the discussions about the best albums of 2020 because it came out too late, so
Yeah.
it didn't get in there. But I don't know. It's kind
I
of
think it is. I think it is one of the best albums
yeah.
of 2020. I really do, genuinely.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying it, and a lot of times, even when we have good albums that we're reviewing, I'll listen to them all week long, and then I'll get sick of them. And especially like one or two songs of them, I'll be like, oh gosh,
I know.
this
Got to get
stupid
through that
song.
again.
None of these songs got
No.
tiring. If there was a, if I had to pick a skipper, it would be Deep Down, probably, just because it's sort of, but even, you know, it's a good solid album. There's no dud. It's every track
Yeah.
is enjoyable in one way or another. A lot of variety to it, but still somehow sounds cohesive, like
Yeah.
one piece, like you were talking about. It does sound like more one piece than new, even, or definitely than Egypt Station.
Yeah.
I give it a thumbs way up. Maybe a 9.
I was going to
Sheesh.
give it 8.5, maybe, something
Eight and
like
a
that.
half, yeah.
Yeah,
Somewhere right
definitely.
in there.
And
I don't know if over time a couple of songs will be become like a, you know,
yeah,
get tired of them,
lose
but
their luster.
yeah,
But it's
we'll see.
something that I think is attractive about it is that Egypt Station was like almost an hour long, and it's a lot to take in an hour of music of by anybody. And this is shorter. This is about 40, I think it's 47 minutes, so kind of a good length, even with you and I could make it even shorter with a couple of edits here.
Yeah.
But
Snip, snip to the
snip,
end
snip,
of
yeah, a
that
deep,
one.
deep feeling. But even then, like it rolls by. It's got a good pacing. It's got a good kind of feel to the album. It doesn't wear out its welcome. Like to me, like
Yeah.
Egypt Station felt a little long, or some of his other albums can drag a little. But this one moves, and it's diverse enough and interesting enough, and so that's why I'd give it, yeah, maybe 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, even songs like Lavatory Lil and Slidin' are relatively short. So, like, if you don't like Slidin', they're relatively short songs that kind of like get in and out,
Yes. Yes.
and the energy of every song is way up there. Like,
Yeah,
it
yeah.
doesn't seem like anything's really like a drag.
No, not at all. No.
So, yeah.
So before we wrap it up, I guess we should say the bonus tracks. I did take some notes on them as well, just very briefly. Have you had a chance to check them out, or?
I did one quick listen
Yeah.
to. In fact, I did. I kind of half listened to a couple of them, though.
Okay. So
Just like, yeah, I get what that is.
exactly. I think that's really all you need. I don't think that any of them are essential. You've got a Women and Wives studio outtake with no drums, bass, or percussion. It's got different lyrics, a different bridge. It's a bit rough, but
Yeah.
yeah, not much to say. There's a Lavatory Lil totally acoustic song.
I did see somebody had said, like, you know, I hated Lavatory Lil, and then I heard the acoustic version, and now I get it. It's
Yeah.
just sort of like a silly,
Yeah.
like they were like, oh, it's really lighthearted.
That's yes. That's kind of how it sounded on the
Yeah.
recording. There's an iPhone demo of Kiss of Venus where I just wish he had tuned the guitar. It's really out of tune guitar, which was marred the recording. Very hard to listen to. And
You
then
perfect pitch guys.
I know
It
it's a
drives
pro
you
it
crazy.
just
That's a
it
way to drive you crazy.
just got me.
Do you think if there is a hell that it's like just out of tune guitars and stuff?
It's out of tune guitars, out of tune pianos are pretty very rough. And then the last one was it was Slidin', but it was called Dusseldorf Jam, and it's just kind of the jam with no lyrics, and it's
Yeah, what I and then NME, which I you gotta read the NME
yeah
part.
yeah we'll link to it in our post.
Pretty good, but it says Slidin' came from a soundcheck jam when we were playing in Dusseldorf in Germany during sound checks, when I'm checking my guitar, I like to try to make something up with the band. We'll join in. And the sound man then gets the sound of my guitar, which I'm going to use later in the show. So I started jamming and this riff came out that I liked. So he developed that and thought, I must do something with that. I really liked it as a riff. It stayed in my brain. So we did it and recorded it for Egypt Station with my band. But it didn't work out. So I had it kind of half finished. So I changed some things here and there and put lyrics in it. And so it becomes this.
Okay. Okay. Well, that makes more sense then. Who knows in 2021 if we'll see what would this be? Deluxe. We don't have Travelers and Explorers like we did with Egypt Station, but what could we have for the super deluxe McCartney 3? But who knows?
I hope there isn't one. Part of why I haven't purchased a physical copy yet is because I don't want to get into that trap of like you buy the original and then the one with the bonus tracks come out and you buy the one with the bonus tracks and then the original just sits on a shelf wasted.
Right, right.
Never to be touched again.
Yeah.
So I hope we don't get a deluxe version. I hope instead we get another like album.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine this was all recorded back in March and April,
I guess. During the spring and summer.
And you know Paul, and he's a workaholic. His entire life. And there's not been a year where, I mean, maybe there's a year or two in there where not much is coming out.
Yeah.
But he's always like touring.
Yeah.
And now he
something.
Can't tour.
Right.
So what's he gonna do? Just
That's
like
true.
Be like, well, I'll retire and fix the fence. No.
No, that's not him.
he wouldn't have all that to-do list for the little thing if he's been taking care of all that stuff.
Exactly. He's got to be home once in a while to fix the fence.
That's right. He's always out with Abe setting up amps and jamming.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's a good... segue just for a little brief discussion here. This will be our last podcast for 2020, and it's kind of a good closer because we also got teasings of what's coming next year. So in two ways, we had the we'll start with Ringo. So Ringo scooped Paul here. He released his new song from a forthcoming EP, Here's to the Nights, that actually has Paul in it, and. So
did you see the video, Dave?
I did a couple times, yeah.
Is Paul holding a koala bear?
He is holding a koala bear.
Yes. Do you think that's a note to ode to a koala bear?
It might
very
be.
Strange.
Very
I was
strange.
Like, what is he doing?
He sort of sings to it at one point, too, a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of the all-star Zoom video idea with who do we have in there? Well, Joe Walsh and Sheryl Crow and Ben Harper, Dave Grohl. A bunch of other people. Yeah, as Chris would say, way too many people for the song needed.
Oh,
yeah.
The list. You know, we always laugh a little bit at the amount of people on a Ringo song, but when I saw the list of people on it, I was like, Corinne Bailey Rae's on this. What
yeah.
is going on?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but generally not too terrible.
No.
Not too bad. Kind of a pleasant song, a very Ringo-y, pleasant, you know, we did it, we can do it.
Yep.
Kind of positivity to it. So, but that's, I guess, when does the EP come out?
I don't know for sure. We'll link to it or we'll find out, but.
I think it might be March.
I was going to say spring. Yeah, maybe. Something like that, but yeah, good for Ringo for keeping up, and then probably more.
We'll review it. We'll do a half review.
Yeah, because it's only an EP, so can't be that many songs.
I heard him say that he thinks that he's never going to release a full-length album again, and that it's only going to be EPs, and he's just going to release them kind of like this, kind of like put out a song and then release the other tunes around it, which... To be honest, with Ringo, that might actually be better.
That's a good thing, actually, because it's hard to stretch enough material for a whole album with Ringo. So,
Of course, if you have five songs and three of them are filler,
Well,
what do you
that's
have?
true. That's a good point. Good point taken. So, yeah. So we like all within the span of a week here, we had the Ringo song, then we had Paul's album come out, and then all of a sudden, we all get
Oh,
this
like a
notice.
bolt of lightning.
Yeah, like a bolt of lightning, we get this notice on YouTube that oh my God, there's clips of Peter Jackson's movie, and there he is talking about it. And it's what did it wasn't called a trailer. I think he called it a
No, he said, what you're about to see
yeah.
is not a footage from the movie. It's not a sequence from the movie, and it's not a trailer. It is a different sequence that we've put together
Yeah.
from the culling from all the footage that we have. So here it is. Enjoy. And it was very entertaining, man.
Yes.
I watched it two, three times
Yes.
back to back.
And
Love it.
the quality, like it looked like it was filmed today. I mean, it was really like they did worked magic on cleaning up the video and now, they showed us selective bits where it was very lighthearted and positive, and John was especially a goof, jumping around and smiling, and so we don't know what the whole thing is like, but it was fantastically done.
You know, Peter Jackson, I don't know if you are following his career that closely, but the last thing he did was this film.
That was the World War I movie, right? Was that
Yeah,
the.
where he took World War I footage. They Shall Not Grow Old is the name of the film. And it took World War I footage, and then he put it through all this processing and cleaned it up and got it to look pristine and in color too. They added color to it, so it's sort of like you're looking at World War I and people are long gone, and it's sort of like they're in the room, you know. So we're gonna get that with this Get
Yeah,
Back. I
feels
mean,
the same
obviously
way.
we've seen it now, and it's just gonna be hard to even process in one viewing. I think it's
I
gonna
know, I know.
take multiple viewings. So
Definitely.
I
So
wonder if this one will just be Disney Plus.
I don't know. You would think that they'd be might be kind of nice and put it in the theaters for everybody in if it's released if the vaccine is if in good shape by that
Well,
point. I don't know.
that's
Yeah,
my
that's the
question
problem.
is, are we really gonna be
I know.
all cleaned up, all ready to be in theaters by then?
Yeah.
Or, Warner Brothers has already announced all their movies are gonna come out on HBO Max next year. So all these superhero movies and everything just coming. In fact, Wonder Woman just came out
Right.
just to straight to HBO Max. So I wonder if this Beatles Get Back will be like that and come out on Disney Plus, or what the circumstance is
Yeah,
going to
there's
be around
got to
it.
be some kind of deal, I'm sure, 'cause to make it marketable to a wide audience.
Yeah, but one way or another,
Yeah.
beyond
Excited.
excited after seeing that footage. And
Yes, absolutely.
I'm
So.
sure that the book, because they had so much film footage, they probably could pull some of that and give us some amazing pictures we've never seen
Yeah.
for this big book too. So
It's going to be quite a year. I mean, looking ahead to 2021, so far we've got all the Get Back stuff. We
yeah.
have Plastic Ono Band is on the horizon. All Things Must Pass.
Yeah, that probably will come out. All those three of those things will probably come out. That alone would be enough.
That's enough. But then,
We get a new Ringo,
yep, more Ringo.
maybe some more Paul. I'm hoping for it. Maybe, and then maybe a big Paul double set Wings,
Yes, Back to the
finishing
Egg and
Wings. Yeah,
London Town. Yeah, maybe that too, and we'll get it all done. And I mean,
London Town
2021.
Egg and a live
Yes.
thing, and you have to pay $700, and you have to buy it that night, or you have to be. It goes on sale at like 2 a.m. in the morning our time, and by 7 a.m. in the morning, it's gonna be sold out. So you better know it's coming, and don't get me started
Like
on
seeing the lunar eclipse or something, you got to get it while you can.
exactly.
Yeah.
The Kiss of Venus, seeing the
Kiss
Kiss
of
of Venus.
Venus, even. So fasten your seatbelts. 2021 is going to be quite the year for Beatle fans, Beatle items and Beatle fans. So, yeah.
Oh, and look, the book, too. We can't forget about the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
So much coming
up. So much stuff. So at least from our perspective, I think 2020 has been, from I've Got a Beatles podcast, we've had a good year and really enjoyed doing a lot more podcasting because we had more time to do it. So we appreciate everybody still listening and writing in and commenting. It's great to hear from everyone.
Some really nice reviews on Apple. If you do listen through Apple and you haven't written a review and you like the podcast, it's always helpful to get a nice Apple review. We got a few recently that were excellent.
Yes.
I think we're up on a couple of these other platforms again too, but I haven't really checked.
Yes, we're definitely on Spotify and last thing, somebody, we get questions once in a while, because if you've been following us, you know that we used to play clips, and so we get questions every now and then recently saying, oh, why do you guys stop playing clips? Well, if you listen to episode 150, we talk about it, but it really comes down to we want to continue the podcast without getting friendly or not so friendly letters from big, huge music conglomerates telling us to stop. So
yeah,
that's kind of how it goes.
And I know that there's been a recent push in the legislature to crack down on in a punitive way that I find to be distasteful personally on copyright infringement. I think because a lot of politicians don't like to be made fun of under a music bed.
you know,
so they're like, you know, Tom Tillis particularly, I think, is leading the charge to make copyright infringement a felony,
which I think is concerning.
So probably best for us to go in this direction. But I also saw a YouTube video that a lot of YouTube channels are getting shut down.
I see that, too.
That kind of thing. So
yeah, even just playing something in the background, you could be talking about the weather and have a Beatles song playing in the background, you'll get taken down. So
yeah.
So
I had my wedding video that I was just uploading, which has some music under it, and I was just uploading it so that I could send it to some friends and they could see my wedding. So we put it up and I just posted it without thinking, and then I got you can't post this.
Mm.
So I had to make it private and then have send people links and stuff. Ugh. So it's just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who's gonna like, it's the thousands of people have downloaded Chris Bragg's movie watching it. Like, no.
Right. Come on. Right. So that's why. But we we appreciate all the comments and all the feedback, and we're going to be real busy next year, I think. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited, Dave.
Yeah.
Right to work. We have a great 2021. I hope you all have a great 2021, and you all stay safe and healthy, and we'll all come through this, and we'll all be in theaters watching Get Back.
Yes. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be great. So. Read with our copies of our books.
Yes,
we have apps.
very exciting. So, well, thanks again for listening, and happy New Year! And we'll be back in 2021.